Well, good morning, church. My name is Patrick, and I will be bringing you the talk this morning. And we'll be looking really at the theme of forgiveness through this book of Philemon. So before we get into it, I'd just like to start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, Lord, to read through your word, O God, that you may talk to us from your word. And we just want to pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, O God, that we would be receptive to what you have to teach us from Scripture. So we just commit this time into your hands, and we commit it in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So to begin this morning, I just wanted to start off with a story. And the story is really about Corrie ten Boom. I don't know, many of you might have heard of her story and read about the experiences that she had. But the Ten Boom family were members of the Dutch Reformed Church. And what they would do during the Second World War was they would hide Jews from being arrested and deported to Germany from the Netherlands. And one day, as the family was doing this, the German secret state police, the Gestapo, came and arrested the entire the people that were in their house, which included Corrie, her father, Casper, and her sister, Betsy. And there was about 30 people who got arrested during that time. And once they got arrested, within the first 10 days, her father, Casper, got sick and died. And later on, many of the others got released, but Corrie and Betsy got transferred to the Ravensbrück concentration camp, where they faced many horrors. And in fact, as they were there, her sister Betsy also got sick and died. And during the end of that month, Corrie got released. And by the end of the war, Corrie became an evangelist, traveling around speaking and being a motivational speaker. And so there was an incident one day at a church in Munich where she was talking, right? So after the speech that she had given, everybody was emptying out of this church. And suddenly she lays eyes on this man. And this was actually an SS guard, one of the guards that stood at the shower door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. And as soon as she saw him, all of these feelings, all of these memories started pouring back into her mind. You know, the room full of mocking men, heaps of clothing, her sister Betsy's pain-blanched face. And this man, as the church was emptying, bowing and beaming, walks up to Corrie and he says these words, "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said, "to think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hands was thrust out to shake Corrie's. And Corrie says this, "And I, who preached so often to the people in Bloemendaal the need to forgive, kept my hands at my side." She couldn't even get herself to lift her hands to shake this man's. Angry, vengeful thoughts went through her mind. And she says that, "I saw the sin of them, but Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me to forgive him." She tried to smile, but she still couldn't. She couldn't feel the slightest bit of warmth to shake his hand. And so she prayed another silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And she lifted her hands up to shake his. And all of a sudden sprang a love for the stranger that almost overwhelmed her. And again, she says these words, "And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with this command, the love itself." Amen. What a great God we have. C.S. Lewis also said these words, "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." And I'm sure many of us can relate to that. You know, people have offended us, they have hurt us. And we who talk about forgiveness sometimes find it very difficult when it actually comes time to forgive. So as we look at this book of Philemon, it is a short letter with a big message. It is a small story in light of the big story of what Jesus has done for us. So this is actually Paul's shortest letter that he's written, and it is a personal letter to Philemon. And Philemon had this slave named Onesimus. And what Onesimus did was he stole something from Philemon, and he disappeared. He was a runaway slave, and he wanted to run away to Rome to disappear in the midst of the crowds and gain his freedom and disappear from there. But through God's sovereign purposes and his leading, somehow he comes across the Apostle Paul, and he receives this good news of the gospel. He receives salvation. And what Paul now does is to send Onesimus back to Philemon to seek forgiveness. And he goes along with the letter. And Philemon also was actually a very good man. He was a godly man. He loved Jesus. His whole family were full of believers. And we actually know that the church in Colossae was actually held in his house. But this excellent man had a slave. And that brings us to look at this topic of slavery really quickly. We need to take a minute to look at this topic, because this letter takes us there. And many people have questions about, why does God allow slavery? Why does the Bible allow for slavery? And especially that Paul doesn't directly call for Onesimus to be released. And so we need to look at, what does the Bible say about slavery? The fact that Paul doesn't directly call for Philemon to release Onesimus was that at that time, slavery was entrenched it was a cultural thing that happened at the time of Rome. In that time when Paul was preaching, there was a cultural acceptance of slavery, and Paul had to put Christian principles into practice to take precedence over this cultural viewpoint. And they needed to know that, you know, we were all equal in Christ, and Paul talks about that. But the fact is that in the 17th and 18th century that we know all about, slavery was very different to the slavery at the time of Paul. It was an ancient economic system that actually kept many people from going hungry at that time. You know, when someone could not take care of themselves or of their families, what they would need to do was to sell themselves into slavery. It could mean the difference between life and death. In other words, slavery enabled people to escape starvation in the absence of systems such as what we have today, like Centrelink or, you know, soup kitchens or governmental handouts. They had none of that. If they couldn't feed themselves, there was only starvation and death, and so they would have to go into slavery. It doesn't mean that slavery was right, but this was the system that there was there. But what the Bible teaches is the Christian principles that would eventually lead to the end of slavery. So if we look at, there was a commentary where F.F. Bruce says, what this epistle does is to bring us into an atmosphere in which this institution could only wilt and die. So you see, even though Paul doesn't call for Onesimus to be directly released as a slave, he puts Christian principles which would lead to that. Because Paul says, no longer see him as a slave, but see him as a brother, as a dear brother in the Lord. And also, there's another thing you will notice in this book of Philemon, was that the word forgive never appears in this book. But the principles are in there that as a child of God, that it would lead Philemon in order to forgive Onesimus. Amen. So we see even in the 17th and 18th centuries, when we saw, you know, the push to see the end of slavery, people like William Wilberforce decided to put his Christian principles into practice to bring about an end to slavery. Amen? So this is what happens. It's a heart change. It is a change that is brought about by Christ's work in our lives. So now, as we come back to this book of Philemon, and we talk about this hard topic of forgiveness, you know, many of us have been hurt by somebody else's actions, by what other people have done in our lives. We have been wounded emotionally and physically sometimes. It can lead us to harbor feelings of resentment, bitterness, and revenge. And as people in the world, how are we going to respond when we have been hurt so badly. And when we look at this book of Philemon, we see that it is important for us to forgive. Forgiveness is a big thing as children of God. And why should we forgive? Should we forgive because we are loving people and forgiving people? What the Bible tells us is we forgive because we have been forgiven much. We have been loved much. God has poured his love and his forgiveness into our lives, which leads us to love others and to forgive others. And the reason we do it, because of an attitude of gratitude towards the love of God, of what he has done towards us. Amen. It is how we honor God. When we look at scripture, when we remember Christ's sacrifice, we see that Christ laid down his life and he died for our sins. He canceled our eternal debt of sin that we could never pay on our own. And through his death, we are now reconciled back to God. So the Bible tells us that we ought to walk in this example that God laid down for us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, we are told, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us." Amen. As believers in the Lord, we are to walk in this example that God himself set through sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and that we ought to walk in that love and to display that love in our actions as well. And so you see, when Paul was writing to Philemon, he was basing everything on this love that Philemon already had in him. So if we are to look at a couple of passages, we see Paul reiterating this fact about love. For example, in Philemon 5, he says, "Because I hear about your love for all his holy people." In Philemon 7, he again says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement." And then Philemon 8 to 9, "Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love." So you see, it is this love that God has poured into our lives should be the basis that that should enable us to forgive one another, especially when we have been wronged. You see, Philemon had experienced this through Paul's ministry. Philemon received salvation. He received the love and forgiveness that God poured into his life. And he knew that, and he had that love in his heart. Onesimus likewise experienced the love of God and the forgiveness of God when, through Paul's ministry again, he received salvation. And Onesimus was willing to go back to Philemon and to seek forgiveness for the wrongs that he had done. And you see, the Christian principle here is so strong in Onesimus's life, because in those days, if you were a runaway slave, if you were a fugitive and you ran away, the punishment was actually quite big. The rule there was that if you were a runaway slave and if you got caught, you could be either whipped, you could be burnt with iron, or you could even be killed because of what you had done. And you know, Onesimus knew that Philemon could quite rightly bring upon the whole weight of the law on him and punish him if he really wanted to. But Onesimus's changed heart meant that he would sacrifice whatever it took to return to his master, regardless of the consequence, and to seek forgiveness. You see, this is what God's love and God's forgiveness does in a person. It takes us to this place, and that is why it is important for us to be able to forgive and love one another. And it is important for us to forgive because right through the New Testament, it keeps reiterating this fact that we must love and forgive because God already did it in the first place. In the small story of the offenses that other people have done towards us, we must view it in the big story of what Christ had done for us. For example, there are a couple of scriptures where it reiterates this. Ephesians 4 tells us, "Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Again, Colossians 3, "Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." Luke 6, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful to you." So it keeps telling us that the way we forgive And why we love others is because of what God has already done for us. But it is also important for us to forgive, because if we do not forgive, if there is unforgiveness in our lives, it really impacts our relationship with God. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 23 to 24, that if we are offering a gift on the altar and we know that a brother or sister has something against us, we ought to leave that gift at the altar, go and get reconciled, and then come back. You see, it is important that we do that even when we come before God. If there is something that we need to seek forgiveness or forgive somebody or to reconcile, we got to do that before we come before God in worship. It impacts our worship and prayer of God. And also, we see this principle in the prayer that Jesus taught us. In Matthew chapter 6, he told us to pray this way: and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven us our debtors. If we actually notice this prayer here, what it is saying is that when we pray and when we ask God for forgiveness, it is in direct relation to how much we have actually forgiven somebody else. So if we haven't forgiven someone else, we truly can't come before God and pray, God, forgive me just as I have forgiven someone else. It impacts our prayer life with God. And in fact, further down in Matthew 6, verses 14 to 5, Jesus says, if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sins, their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It is not to say that you're losing your salvation or your justification. What it is saying here, that it impacts your relationship, your prayer life with God, and it impacts your relationship with others. And we ought to pray that God would give us the strength to forgive. And that is what happens if there is unforgiveness. But we forgive not in our strength, but in His. We ought to remember the small offenses of what others have done towards us in light of the big story of this great love and forgiveness that Christ poured out into our lives, that God poured out into our lives. So while now we know that forgiveness is important in our lives, it takes us to the next point. What do we do? It's easy to say and preach to forgive one another, just as Corey experienced in her life. But we know that forgiveness is truly difficult. So my next question is, what do we do when forgiveness is difficult? You see, forgiveness is costly. It is not cheap. There is a price to forgive. It is as though we are being wronged twice. First that somebody has offended us in some way, and the next thing is we have to forgive them as well. And our natural inclination is to retaliate. It is to be bitter and become angry at somebody else. But when we find it difficult to forgive, what we need to do is to rely upon God. We need to pray and rely upon His Holy Spirit. And we need our brothers and sisters to help us to pray, to give us the strength to forgive somebody else. In Philemon, Paul writes, as he writes to Philemon, Paul says these words in Philemon 6. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. You see, Philemon needed to understand the full extent of what the gospel demands of him. And so Paul prays that he would have a deeper understanding of every good thing, so that his willingness to forgive would come from this deeper understanding of what Jesus had done for him. And so you see, Paul prays for him. And likewise, when we find it difficult to forgive someone, we need our brothers and sisters in the Lord to pray for one another for strength. And as we pray to God, that through His Spirit, that we would receive the strength to forgive. There is also another parable that Jesus taught on the subject of forgiveness. In Matthew 8, 21 to 35, the Apostle Peter actually comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus this question in this parable of the unforgiving servant. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? But Jesus answered and said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. You see, what Peter was trying to find out from Jesus here is that, what is the limit of my forgiveness? Where can I stop forgiving? And so Jesus says 77 times, and he's not saying after the 77th time, you don't need to forgive anymore. But the principle he's teaching, we will find out in this parable. So in this parable, Jesus taught, there was a rich man. There was a king who wished to settle accounts. And there was one man who owed him 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to a couple of $1 million today. And this man could not pay the king. So the king ordered him to be sold along with his wife and with his child until all of the payment should be made. The servant fell on his knees because he knew that he could not do it, and imploring the king, asked for patience so that he could pay everything. But out of pity, this master released him and forgave him his debt. Remember here, he didn't say, I will give you some more time. He forgave him his complete debt. And so the same servant goes out and he finds another fellow servant who owed him money, who owed him 100 denarii. This was a lot less than what he had owed. But seizing him and choking him, said, pay what you owe. This other servant fell on his knees and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he did not listen. Instead, he ordered to put this person in prison until all of the debt should be paid. And his fellow servant saw what happened, went back to his master and told him all that had taken place. The master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have shown mercy to your servant? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he could pay all of the debt. And Jesus says in Matthew 18:35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister in the Lord. So the principle here is that not how many times, what is the limit of our forgiveness, but in light of the forgiveness that we have received, it should enable us and it should strengthen us to be able to forgive others as well. When we find it hard to forgive, as we pray, as we rely on our brothers, on our sisters to help us, to have the power to forgive. And as we rely on his Holy Spirit, we also ought to look at the cross to remember the forgiveness that we have also received. You see, this takes us back to Corey's story, where she also found it difficult to forgive. And there was something interesting she actually says, which really humbles us, I think. She says, as she saw this SS guard, she says, even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? So what Corey is really saying here is that I see all of the things that this man has done. And I've seen that Jesus has actually died for this man upon the cross. And am I actually going to say that the sacrifice of Jesus was not enough for me? In addition to the sacrifice of God, of Christ on the cross, in addition, do I need him to do more to earn my forgiveness? You see, that really brings us to that place. If Christ died, if he died for you and I, and if he died for others, do we need any more to be added on top of his sacrifice for us to forgive? And so you see, Corey cries out to the Lord. She says, forgive me and help me to forgive. Again, she said, Jesus, I cannot forgive, give me your forgiveness. So you see, brothers and sisters, if we know that people are finding it hard to forgive one another, I pray that you would stand side by side, pray for them. Each of us, if you personally find it difficult to forgive someone because of the wrongs they have done, and it is not to minimize the pain that we are going through, it is not to minimize the impacts that it's had on your life. But when we look at our situations, in light of what Christ has done for us, it will help us and give us the power to forgive. In fact, Tim Keller says in his new book, Forgive, these words. Don't let yourself be twisted. Take in what Jesus Christ has done. Put your little story about what people have done to you in the big story of what he has done for you, and you will have the power you need to grant forgiveness. Amen. We have a beautiful God. We have such a wonderful God who tells us we don't have to do it on our own. He is there. He helps us. He leads us. And we need to rely on his grace. Hallelujah. So this brings me to my third point. Does forgiveness always lead to reconciliation? You see, when Paul was sending Onesimus back to Philemon, he was hoping and praying that he would be reconciled. In Philemon 15 to 19, we read, "Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a dear brother in the Lord." So you see, when we seek forgiveness, the ultimate goal is that we can actually be reconciled back, that our relationships can be restored. And as Paul wrote this to Philemon and spoke to Onesimus, Paul knew this very well, because even when we read in 2 Corinthians, we are told that we as believers in the Lord have this ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, it says that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. So Paul really wanted Onesimus and Philemon to be reconciled. We have this ministry of reconciliation. You know, when we tell other people about Christ, other people about God, we are, you know, being partaking of this ministry of reconciliation. We're telling them Christ died for you, for your sins, in order that you can be reconciled back to God. And how good would it be that we who preach forgiveness, that we who talk about reconciliation, enact that in our own lives to be an example to this world, not to just talk about it, but to be able to put that into our lives as well. And Paul so desperately wanted this to happen, and he was willing to do whatever it took for reconciliation to happen. He was willing to sacrifice in order for Onesimus and Philemon to be forgive each other and to be reconciled. So we read in Philemon 18 to 19, "If he has done any wrong to you or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very life itself." So what it really teaches us here is that Paul was willing to take the sacrifice in order that these two brothers would each, give forgiveness and seek forgiveness and be reconciled. And be reconciled into a greater relationship, not as a slave and a master, but as a brother, as a dear brother in the Lord. And to enable that to happen, he was willing to sacrifice. So it takes us to that place of asking ourselves, what are we willing to sacrifice in order for two other people to be able to be reconciled and to forgive each other? What are we going to do through Christ's help to enable this to happen? The truth of the matter is that reconciliation may not always be possible. Even though we must strive for it, even though we must never look for an excuse never to reconcile, the truth of the matter is it may not always be possible depending on the situation you're in. The reason for that is that, you know, if you want to forgive somebody, you can forgive someone from your heart. Even if the other person doesn't accept it, you can still forgive. But for reconciliation to happen, both parties need to be able to seek forgiveness, forgive each other, and to reconcile. If one person doesn't want to reconcile, true reconciliation can never happen. And there may be many situations where this may not be possible. When somebody has wronged you and is unwilling to repent and seek forgiveness, reconciliation may not happen. When someone who has wronged you so deeply And they keep repenting and reconciling, but the sin just keeps coming back again and again, and there is no true change of heart or mind. There could be instances when you have been in abusive marriages or relationships, when you have been so scarred mentally and physically, it is hard to reconcile. If you fear the person who has wronged you, reconciliation may not be possible. If someone is manipulative in your relationship, or many such cases like these, forgiveness must always be possible. But we know that truly reconciliation may not always be possible, but we should never look for an excuse never to reconcile. We should try to the best of our ability and through the help of God to enable us to reconcile and to forgive one another. Because you see, that is what we see through what Christ has done for us. That is what we see in the small story of offenses that people have done to us. May we look at it in light of the big story of what Jesus had done for us and for his love that has poured out upon us. So as we conclude, as we come to the end of this talk, the truth of the matter is that we are all like Onesimus. And we have many Onesimuses actually in our life who have wronged us. We ran away from God. You know, at one point, we did not want to be under God's rule and authority. We ran from him trying to seek freedom to do the things that we want to do. But instead, what had happened is that we became slaves to sin. But as God's sovereign work worked in Philemon's life, in Onesimus's life, in Paul's life, he too sovereignly worked in order that we could receive salvation and this great forgiveness, and he poured out into our lives. We ran in the opposite direction, but Christ came and he gave us salvation and he reconciled us back to God. When we could not pay the debt, Christ paid it for us on our behalf, that we could be reconciled back to God. Jesus Christ is our master and our mediator. We cannot plead our own case, but Christ did it on the cross. And through what he did, the Bible tells us we have become children of the living God. We are part of his family. We are in fellowship with God. And he paid for all of our debts, and he has gifted us with his Holy Spirit. Amen. We have such a wonderful God who has done such a great thing for us. And as we look at how Paul and Onesimus and Philemon in this short book, how through the changed heart, through the love that was poured into their heart and their lives, through the principles that was in them, you know, actually in this book, we really don't know what happened. We know that Paul commanded this. We don't know what happened, but we can be quite positive that through the love of the heart of love and the forgiveness that they had received, that there would have been true forgiveness and true reconciliation that would have taken place. And I really encourage each one of us, you know, as we close, to ask a couple of questions in conclusion. Do you need to seek forgiveness in a particular situation? Seek God's grace for help. Do you need to give forgiveness to someone who has hurt you? Seek God's grace for help. Do you find it difficult to forgive? Ask your brothers and sisters in the Lord to help you in prayer. Come before Christ in prayer and ask his Holy Spirit to enable you and give you to the power to forgive. Seek reconciliation as much as it is possible. And if you know that there is someone in the church or anywhere else that need forgiveness and that reconciliation to happen, as Paul was willing to sacrifice, I pray that you would watch out for one another and that you would pray for one another and that you would enable and whatever sacrifice is required to enable that to happen. So I pray that you've been blessed by the word this morning. And before I close, I just want to close with a word of prayer that God would help us to forgive and love just as he loved us and forgave us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, which is so powerful, O God, to help us. Lord, we cannot do anything in our strength. But we know, God, that as we look at this big story of what you have done, God, through your Son Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, that our eternal debt of sin was paid upon that cross. And because of that, through Christ, that we are reconciled back to you. And as we see in this book of Philemon, O God, Christian principles being put into practice, O God, out of our attitude of gratitude to what you have done for us, O Lord, that we would all be able to do that. And we know that this morning in this church, there are many of us, you see every heart, you see every mind. Whoever is here this morning who finds it difficult to forgive or, you know, who are having a difficult time where people have wronged them so deeply and so painfully, we want to pray, O God, that your love would just be in their hearts, your strength, O Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would enable them to seek peace in you, to have the strength to forgive and to love, O God, and through that be such a great example to this world that you are God, you loved us, and that, Lord, we just want to pour out that love that we received from you. So we commit this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.